Let us all turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and from verse 1 to 5. Oftentimes in our Christian life, after we become Christians, we tend to think that we are invincible against the schemes of the devil, against the doctrines of demons that takes us away from Christ, that takes us away from the Word of God and the truth. In our pride, we tend to become careless. But not even DCC, where sound doctrine exists, where the Word of God is preached, where Christ is exalted, even DCC can become careless. Even us who have known Christ and who have loved Him, seeing the work of Christ on the cross, even we can become careless with regard to our faith. Didn't Peter go away? Didn't he falter with regard to the faith? That was Peter, who was with Jesus for 3.5 years. And he faltered. Even Barnabas, who was with Paul in his missionary journeys and in his church planting endeavors, he also faltered. Reflecting on our own lives, we can also falter with regard to our faith. We can also compromise with regard to our faith. And therefore, we must always take ourselves back to what God has done for us in Christ. What God has given to us, what we have received from God Himself, His Spirit that was given to us, we must remind ourselves of what God has done for us again and again and again. And I see the usefulness of that as we take part of the Lord's Supper every Sunday, where we remember Christ and what He has done for us. Paul does that in this passage that we'll consider today. But this pattern is seen throughout Scripture. When Moses himself pointed back to what God had done for them as He brought them out with an outstretched arm. This is what we keep on seeing, that people are drawn to God when we point them to what God has done for them. Paul does that. Paul sees the Galatians who were drifting away from the gospel. And what he does is he tells them, he urges them to look at Christ and what God has done for them. He shows them the love of God for them so that they would come back to God. It says in Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 where it says, I marvel that you so quickly deserted Him, God, who have called you and have turned away for a different gospel. He marvels at them and He calls them back. The whole epistle of Galatians is to call the Galatians back to the gospel. Maybe we haven't drifted away from the gospel, but this passage still applies to us because we in our humanness also have the tendency, we in our sinfulness also have the tendency to drift away from the true and the one gospel. And Paul takes us back to what God has done. He shows that it is mindless. It is mindlessness to abandon the faith which saved you in the first place. Faith in the gospel that saved you from the wrath of God, from your sin. That is what Paul teaches us in this section. And he comes to us as he comes to the Galatians with a heart of a shepherd. He is not just rebuking them, he is not just scolding them, but he has a purpose in the words that he uses in these five verses. What is that purpose? The one purpose is that these Galatians who had drifted away from the gospel would come back to the true gospel. He breaks over the Galatians. He feels for the Galatians as a father would with regard to his child, as a shepherd would with regard to his sheep. These are the people that were saved through his preaching of the gospel. And out of concern and care for them, he calls them back to come back to the gospel. Shall we turn our attentions as we read Galatians 3 from verse 1 to verse 5? O foolish Galatians, who bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things for nothing, if indeed it was for nothing? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Which among these two is true of you? Is it by works of the law or is it by faith? He asks these questions in every verse so that the Galatians would be provoked to think and will be drawn back to God and his gospel. He shows them the mindlessness of abandoning faith in the gospel. It is mindless, and he gives point after point to show them that it is mindless to abandon faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That it is not sensible to draw away from God and his gospel. He begins by saying, oh, that word has a lot of emotions packed in that. He is crying as he calls these Galatians to consider their mindlessness. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 6, he says, I marvel. He is shocked at what is happening with the Galatians before whom Jesus Christ himself was publicly portrayed as crucified. Oh, he says, foolish Galatians, my children, oh, why are you being foolish? He calls them and tells them directly that they are foolish. It is a very, very strong, straightforward, and stern description of the Galatians. You foolish, oh foolish Galatians, who bewitched you, Paul says. Who bewitched you to go away from Christ? And in doing that, he's not just doing that for the sake of correcting them, but he wants them to develop godly sorrow so that they would come to repentance. This is what we see Paul doing even with the Corinthian church, where he used words so that they would be sorrowful and would come back in repentance. The Galatians needed repentance. They had deviated from the gospel. So he wanted them to be sorrowful and shows them their foolishness. Paul calls them foolish because they had allowed themselves to be influenced by false doctrines. What is the word foolish? What does that mean? They already know what Christ, who Christ is. They already know what God in Christ has done for them. But what were they doing? They were being foolish. They were not thinking straight. They were not using what they know about God and Christ. And they were deviating from the gospel. They were listening to a false gospel. They were being foolish. They were being stupid in not considering what Christ has done for them. And therefore, Paul says to them straightforward in a direct way with sternness that they are foolish. But again, with the heart of a shepherd, that they would come to repentance. He says, "Who bewitched you? Who bewitched you? My dear children, who bewitched you before whom Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified?" The word bewitch has the meaning of doing black magic on someone. It is to influence someone in an evil way. The word has the sense of harm in it. Black magic is done so that people will be harmed. It is not for their good that black magic is done, but it is to their harm that black magic is done. And Paul uses that word to bring out the idea that they are allowing themselves to be influenced in an evil way to their own harm. Therefore, he calls them, "Oh, foolish Galatians. Who bewitched you? Who took over your mind so that you went away from Jesus Christ, who was publicly portrayed as crucified? Who took you away from the one person that has shown love for you? Who has bewitched you?" The same for us as well. We have chances to be bewitched as well. Because doctrines which are against Christ and against the truth exist among us. It is there. This is not false doctrine, is not only for the first century church. It exists even today. And when we would pay attention to doctrines which are demonic, those doctrines will lead us away from Jesus Christ. If you would turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith." Paying attention to what? Paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. If we would pay attention to deceitful doctrines and to the doctrines of demons, then we are in a danger of falling away from the faith as well. How many years we have come, it doesn't matter if we don't end in faith. If we would pay attention to those doctrines, then we are also in the danger of falling away. It's me. It's every one of us who are in the danger of falling away. If we would pay attention to demonic doctrines. And therefore, coming Sunday after Sunday, going to home fellowship groups where the Bible is taught, that is so important for us. If we would surround ourselves by the Word of God, going to church, fellowshipping with saints, going to HFG home fellowship groups, reading the Bible in our own personal devotion, then we can be safe. God can save us, but it doesn't happen just in the air. It happens as we involve ourselves in the church. Not only on Sundays, but even during the week. How can we fight against Satan himself if we would just come Sunday once a week? Hear the word of God preached just once a week and think that we can face Satan and all the deceitful things that he does. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to strive forth to make yourself strong in the faith. Drench yourself in the word of God. Fellowship with other people who would spur you to good works and to love. Do that. And that would be a defense that God would give you to face false teaching. Who bewitched you? And then he says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. He has said that it is mindlessness to abandon faith in the gospel. And now he gives reasons. He shows areas that helps them to understand that it is mindless. He gives three areas through which they will be able to see the mindlessness of abandoning faith in the gospel. The first is found in verses 1 to 3. It is this: you started by believing in the gospel. He takes them back to the start, doesn't he? In verse 1, he says, Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Someone preached the gospel to you at the beginning. In verse 2, he says, you received the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith. That is the beginning. We receive the Spirit at the beginning of our salvation. And then also in verse 3, he says, having begun by the Spirit. All of these three verses takes the Galatians back to their beginning, the beginning of their Christian walk. What does he say in verse 1? He says that you have beheld the cross. You beheld the cross. Christ was publicly portrayed to you as crucified, he says. It is before your eyes. And at first thought, we might think that before your eyes means that they had actually been there in person when Jesus Christ was crucified. But that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that to you was proclaimed the gospel. To you was proclaimed Christ and him crucified so clearly and so real that it was as if it was before their eyes that Jesus Christ was portrayed as crucified. Where do I get that from? Because Paul uses the word portrayed. It doesn't say before whose eyes Jesus was crucified. It says before whose eyes Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified. Who is the portrayer here? It is Paul himself. When he planted those churches, he portrayed Jesus Christ as crucified. And it was so real that it was as if Christ was being crucified before their eyes. Before whose eyes? Who is the person here? It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the righteous one who has no sin at all. The highest of all, the kings of kings and the Lord of lords, who was equal to God, who is God himself, and yet he humbled himself even to the point of death on a cross. And that is the message that Paul preached to the Galatians. It was in public. He was not ashamed of Jesus Christ. He did not go and then say to one person in quiet, but he proclaimed the gospel. He publicly made the gospel known to the Galatians. The Galatians understood Christ and him crucified. Why does Paul say, why does Paul take such a big issue with crucifixion of Jesus Christ? Because that is the one thing on which our salvation stands. Jesus and him crucified. We sinners, unworthy of any favor from God. But God would send his Son to die for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him, God made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not a result of works so that no one may boast. But we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Even last time when I was preaching from the previous verses, I made sure, and even God's word made sure, that we are sinners. We are sinners. We don't deserve. What we deserve is the wrath of God. We are by nature children of wrath. Ephesians chapter 2. But God sent his Son to die for us. It's not just coming, living on earth, and then meeting with people, conversating with people, but it is actually dying for our sins. He took upon himself our sins so that in him there will be forgiveness of sins. That is what Paul preached even as he went for planting churches in Acts chapter 13 and 14 in the region of Galatia. He preached forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ. He preached that. And if Christ has not been crucified, then there is no forgiveness for you and for me. Do you realize that without Christ, there is no forgiveness for our sins? Without Christ, we are still under the curse. We are still under condemnation of God. But Christ became a curse for us. Galatians chapter 4, he became a curse for us, because anyone who is hanged on a tree is cursed. He became a curse for us so that our curse might be taken away by him and we might have a relationship with God. Christ did that for us. I remember as I was struggling with my assurance of salvation that I would be in tears, just fearing that I'm still under the wrath of God. If I die today, as I sleep tonight, and I don't wake up tomorrow, then what would happen of me if I'm not in Christ? I'm still under the wrath of God. And I would cry and then sleep away, and still God would be graceful to wake me up the next day. And now he has given me assurance as well. But what I'm saying is Christ has been crucified for you and for me. He has taken your sin upon himself and has borne the full wrath of God, satisfied God's wrath in all of its fullness so that we might have forgiveness in him. And think of that and think of going astray from him. What will keep you from going away from the gospel? It is Christ and him crucified. What would take us back to the gospel if we have strayed away? It is Christ and him crucified. The gospel is powerful. It is powerful to bring us back to God. It is powerful if we keep our eyes always focused on the gospel. to keep us till our final breath. So cling to the gospel. Cling to the gospel. Never let your eyes go away from the gospel of Jesus and Him crucified. If you take your eyes away from Jesus and Him crucified, then you will be taken away into other doctrines which are not in accordance to the Word of God. I plead you, look to Christ. Always, constantly, every time. If you hold your salvation dear to you, cling to Christ and Him crucified. Let me give you, imagine with me this situation where you don't know how to swim and you are drowning in water. Somebody comes and then saves you, and he dies saving you. Is it sensible for you to go back, jump inside the water, and then die? Does that make any sense at all? But that is what we do, and that is what we will do when we stray away from faith in the gospel. We would set aside what Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. So cling to Christ. Cling to Christ because you know what Christ has done. You have understood what Christ has done. It has become personal to you what Christ has done for you on the cross. Stick to that. That would have been enough, right? Just looking at Christ. But God's grace is so great. He's so great that He not only gives us His Son to die for us, He gives us His Spirit to live in us. You beheld the cross, and you believed and received the Holy Spirit. That's the second point that we find in verse 2. Verse 2 says, "This is the one thing that I want to learn from you." The one thing that will settle all of this. This is the one thing that I want to learn from you, O foolish Galatians. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? I see in that, again, Paul's heart of a shepherd. He considers them as people who have received the Holy Spirit. He still has hope in the Galatians that they would turn back to the true gospel. And that's why he says, you have received the Spirit. Did you receive the Spirit? He doesn't say, did you earn the Spirit? He says, did you receive the Spirit? Who is this Spirit that he's talking about? It is the very Spirit of God Himself. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. And He is given to us so that we receive it. We are beggars who receive such a wonderful thing from God. We have received God Himself to be in us. We have received it. The Galatians, they have received it. And Paul wants to know, have you received this God? Have you received the Holy Spirit, who is God Himself, by works of the law or by hearing in faith? Which one is it? And they know the answer. They know the answer, that it is by hearing with faith. It is not our hands that have earned the Holy Spirit, but it is our ears that have heard the gospel. It goes back to verse 1 where Paul preached to them the gospel of Jesus and Him crucified. It goes back to that. You believed in faith. You believed and received Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And by doing that, you also received the Holy Spirit. Which one is it? Is it by works of the law that you are going back to that? Or is it by hearing in faith? Which one is it among the two? And by doing that, He tells them, He convinces them that it is by the hearing of faith. We cannot receive the Holy Spirit besides faith. There is only one way to receive the Holy Spirit. As we believe, we receive. At that point of our belief, we receive the Holy Spirit as well. It is only by faith in Jesus Christ that we receive the Holy Spirit. And therefore He tells them, isn't it foolishness? God has not only given to you His Son to die for you on the cross, but He has also given to you His Spirit. You have received the Spirit. That is what you received from God as a beggar. You have received the King Himself as a beggar. And would you throw that away? Would you throw that truth away? Would you throw that experience that you had with the Holy Spirit where you received Him and He has been with you throughout your Christian life? Would you throw all of that away by going back to the works of the law? By going back to human achievement? These are the first two reasons that He uses. You beheld the cross. You believed and received the Holy Spirit. But He gives a third reason as well. A third area that He considers in verse 3. He says, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? They also began by the Spirit. And here Paul switches gears as he goes from, oh foolish Galatians, to are you so foolish? He has left a doorway, a room through which they can return back to the gospel. Are you so foolish? I hope and I pray that you are not foolish, but are you so foolish to go back to your flesh? He says, having begun, this also goes back to verse 2. How did they begin in the Spirit? The Spirit was received by them. What kind of beginning is Paul talking about? He's talking about the beginning of their Christian life, of their life with God. You begun by the Spirit. The word by has the idea of causing something. It is the Spirit that has caused the start of your Christian life. And by saying that, He's also saying that it is not by your flesh. Your flesh, your works, your human achievement did not start your Christian life. You are not the cause of your Christian life. The Spirit of God is the cause of your Christian life. So why would you go back to something that has not even contributed anything to your Christian life? Why would you go back to that? Having begun by the Spirit of God, are you now being perfected in your Christian life by the flesh? Do you want to come to the end of your life forsaking faith and then relying on your own works? That's what Paul is asking. What has your works done for you in your salvation? If it has done one thing, then it has brought the wrath of God upon you. That's what your human achievement have earned for you. Not salvation, but the wrath of God. Hell itself is earned by us. So if we would depend on our works, what do we deserve? We deserve hell. We deserve the wrath of God. But if we would depend on faith, through which we can believe in Jesus Christ, through which we will receive the Spirit of God, then we can have salvation. Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Imagine again this with me. Most of us came to church today in our vehicles, in our scooters, maybe something else as well. But we have come using petrol, right, from our homes to church. Just imagine that you stop halfway and then you take the petrol out, you throw it away, and then you try pushing it by yourself. Some of you are laughing, right? And it is laughable because it is foolish. It's not thoughtful. It's not sensible, right? Having begun by using the petrol and coming halfway, you take that out and then throw that away. What hope do you have of reaching the destination? That's the same way. The Spirit has begun the work in us. It has begun the Christian walk. And how foolish of us to put that aside and rely on our own strength, which will achieve nothing. It is mindless. I hope you see that in the Word of God. It is mindlessness to abandon faith in the gospel. That's the first reason. You began by believing in the gospel, and therefore you continue believing in the gospel. Brothers and sisters, look at the start of your salvation. Look to Christ. Look to the Holy Spirit that is in you and you received by grace. Look to that and continue in your faith. Never give away your faith in Jesus Christ and the gospel. In verse 4, Paul moves ahead and then gives them another area which is worth the consideration and which shows that it is mindless to abandon faith in the gospel. What is that? In verse 4 it reads, "Did you suffer so many things for nothing, if indeed it was for nothing?" I have phrased it as this. My second point is, you have not only started by believing in the gospel, but you have suffered for believing in the gospel. You have suffered for believing in the gospel. If we turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 13 and 14, it gives us an idea of how Christianity was during that time. It records the persecution of Paul as he planted churches in the Galatian region. Four places are mentioned. Pisidian Antioch, that's the first one. Then you have Iconium. Then you have Lystra. And you have Derbe. All of those are regions in Galatia where Paul planted. And what kind of reception did Paul have as he preached the gospel? Let's find that out in Acts chapter 13. Let's first turn our attention to Acts chapter 13, verse 50. Paul preached in Pisidian Antioch, and in Acts chapter 13, verse 50, it says, "But the Jews incited the God-fearing woman of prominence and the leading man of the city, and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. They drove them out of the district. That's the first one. Second is in Iconium. Paul moves to Iconium and then preaches the gospel there. And how did people respond? It is in verse 5 of chapter 14. It says, "And when an attempt was made by God, by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them." That's the reception that Paul received. They mistreated them, an attempt was made to mistreat them and to stone them in Iconium. Then Paul goes to Lystra, and we'll read that in Acts chapter 14, verse 19. It says, "But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium," the Jews, "and after winning over the crowds and stoning Paul, they were dragging him out of the city, supposing him to be dead." They drove them out first. They attempted to mistreat and stone, and finally, they succeeded in stoning Paul. Persecution was there in the Galatian region. And even though it does not explicitly mention how the Galatians were persecuted, we have an idea of what their lives will be as we look into the persecution that Paul himself received. This is the place. This is the place, or these are the places where Paul had preached and he was persecuted. Persecution existed in those churches. And surely so, we know that those persecutions were experienced by the Galatians as well. As we look into Galatians chapter 3, verse 4, where it says, "Did you suffer so many things for vain?" It's not only did you suffer many things or did you suffer things. It is did you suffer so many things. The persecution was great. And it is mindless to abandon the faith, because it is for the faith that they were being persecuted. It is mindless, isn't it? To be persecuted, to come so far, enduring so much persecution, and then giving up on the gospel, this deviating from the gospel, that is mindless. And as I thought about this church, DCC, with regard to persecution and suffering yesterday, I know that this church has gone through suffering. I'm convinced about that. Firstly, because God himself says in his word that everyone who desires to live godly lives will be persecuted. You might want to go and then refer to that verse. It is in 2 Timothy where Paul says that he was persecuted. He mentions those same places in Galatia, and then he says, everyone who wants to live godly lives will be persecuted. And as I thought about DCC, that's the first reason I'm convinced by the word of God that there are godly people here and you have been through persecution. But I have also learned from certain people, not from all of you, but from certain people, that you were persecuted because of your faith. That you were beaten because you believed in Jesus Christ. I also know that there are many members in this church who is the first generation of Christians. So I think of that, and I have these inferences that if you are the first in your family to become a Christian, then you would receive persecution from your family members. Maybe this is common with you, that your parents said you have brought shame to the family. You have rejected your family by going and becoming a Christian. People might have said to you, you are being foolish. How stupid of you to forsake your job, maybe, and then to go after Christ, to obey Him. I also know that there are certain people who, because of their love for Christ and to stand in their convictions and to walk in the will of God, have been persecuted in their jobs. And there may be many more. And you may share that with me as we fellowship after this worship service. But this church has suffered. And if you have suffered for Christ and the gospel, let us not be foolish to throw away that. Let your suffering for the gospel be that thing that makes you stick to the gospel. Look and consider, think about, ponder on how many things you have suffered because of being in Christ. And continue on. Continue on. Continue on in the faith. Let's move to the third reason that Paul gives. First one is you started by believing in the gospel. The second one is you believed and received the Holy Spirit. The third one is God favors the believers of the gospel. That is found in verse 5. God favors the believers of the gospel. It reads in verse 5, "So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" He again gives the same two options which are incompatible with one another. If you have one, you cannot have the other. It is either by works of the law or it is by faith. You cannot have both of them together. You cannot say, "I believe in Jesus Christ, but my works also saves me." These are two incompatible options that Paul gives. And if you receive one, if you take one, then you are rejecting the other. So consider with me as we now turn from the Galatians to God Himself. So then, in light of all that I have said before, so then, does God who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by works of the law or by hearing with faith? The word provides there is to grant freely. It is to give freely. And that is why, by faith, if it is by faith that we are saved, then it is by the grace of God that we are saved. The Holy Spirit is received as a gift. Our salvation is received as a gift. God, in His grace, gives to us the Holy Spirit. So if this God who provides you, who gives you freely His Spirit, and if He works miracles among you, there were miracles during those times. What were those miracles for? For the purpose of testifying to the work, to the word that was being preached. If God favors you in this way, if He provides you by His grace, His Spirit, if He works miracles among you so that you would believe that the word is really true, if He favors you in this way, in what way has He done this? Is it by the works of the law or is it by hearing with faith? If it is by hearing with faith, and it is by hearing with faith, right? It is by hearing with faith that we also received the Holy Spirit, that we were also being saved. If it is by hearing with faith, then do not abandon faith in the gospel. That's what Paul again and again says. In light of these things, do not abandon faith in the gospel. Continue in the gospel. Continue in the gospel. So these are the three reasons that Paul gives. And through that, he nails this one theme, the mindlessness of forsaking or abandoning faith in the gospel. And using that, he comes as a shepherd concerned about his sheep and their salvation. He comes and then he pleads with them. He argues with them. He convinces them to continue in the faith. So brothers and sisters, continue in the faith. I plead you to continue in the faith, to be like Paul, who says in chapter 2, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Shall we look to God in prayer? Our loving Father, we look to what you have done for us, that you would give your only begotten Son to die on a cross for our sins. We think about the Spirit, your Spirit, whom you have given to us and whom we received as a free gift. We consider the struggles and the pain and the persecution that we go through because of our faith. We look to you, who freely gives to us your Spirit. And as we look into those things, Lord, would you put into our hearts the strength to remain in the gospel, the strength to continue in the gospel. Lord, would you do that with this people? Would you do that with your people who have seen Christ and him crucified, who has seen the love of God in all of its fullness, how great it is? We have seen it all, Lord. So help us, help every one of us to live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself up for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Receive the benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of God's Holy Spirit rest and abide with each of you. Amen.